Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Clive Urquhart.
Okay, if you've got a Bible, just grab your Bible and turn to Nehemiah chapter 4. We're going to start there and just go through some different scriptures this morning. God's doing something new amongst us. There's something fresh happening over these past couple of months. And God has been speaking. And we've had loads of different people actually speaking on Sunday mornings recently, a number of guests and different people being up here. I think it was about 6 weeks since the last time I was up here speaking. Some of you might go, praise God, oh, he's up there again. And some of you might be, oh, about time we heard something. But anyway, whoever's up here has brought the word of the Lord into the life of the church here, into our life. And we've had some awesome words from God. And there's two key things that God has been saying that all interlink together just before we get into this morning. So we kind of get the backdrop of what God is doing and what he wants to say and continue to move us into this morning. God has been really communicating, speaking about his heart for people over these last couple of months. And different people have been up here sharing God's heart for people. But linked with that, there's also been, and Pastor Colin kind of put this in a nutshell a couple of weeks ago. He really brought an apostolic word into the life of the church here, okay? He's been away a lot recently, speaking in places around this country and in other countries. And it's just really been bringing or seeing God work at a whole nother level than he has for a long time. And he kind of felt that what he brought a couple of weeks ago was like bringing an apostolic word to his own church. And it was a powerful word, and it was to do with God's authority and us being under authority and being a people of humility and moving in his purposes. And that is very much linked, as we're going to discover this morning as we look through some different things, how that is linked with a heart for people, okay? Now, Labib brought up, I don't know about you guys, but I thought last week's word, it was like a gentle giant word, wasn't it? A guy with such a gentle spirit just chatting away up here, but it came with such a depth and a weight of authority, you know, partly because of what they're living and what they're faced with day in, day out over there, and how they have to work out their salvation in a very, sometimes very difficult culture, nation, scenario over in Israel and the Palestinian areas over there. But one of the things that he brought was that he spoke about the army of Israel with David and Goliath, that the army already had an attitude of defeat even before the battle had started, that they were living under a fake defeat, okay? Now, we're going to see that that links with understanding God's authority, God's word, God's power, and how we link that in with prayer, how we submit our minds and our attitudes and our hearts to God's word. We're going to look at some of that this morning. But how that is all to do with a heart for people, okay? So we seem to be coming from two extremes. Here's God's authority, God's power, humbling ourselves towards God and to God. But yet over here, we want to have this love for people and this outworking of God's heart for people. Now, we're just going to look in Nehemiah chapter 4 here and read a couple of things, and then we're going to get into some other scriptures, into more of the real nub of what I feel God wants to say today in relation to us being a praying people. And God has been speaking to us about being a house of prayer for all nations, and how we're beginning to work that through in the prayer strategy, and what that means for all of us as a church. Now, when in the leadership team earlier in the week, we were meeting on Tuesday morning, we were praying together, for all of us as a church, and praying into some things. And one of the things that God said in that time was what he's doing at the moment, he's like pulling a bow back, okay? And as he's pulling this bow back, what he's doing at the moment, he's sharpening the tips of the arrows, and he's really making sure the shafts are really straight and all the feathers at the end of the shaft are really in place and everything is plumed or how it should be, okay? And that he's pulling this bow back, getting all the arrows ready and sharpened, and because he has a purpose of us hitting the target, not just anywhere, but right in the center of his heart, his will, his purpose, right in the middle of what he wants to do. And part of what he said while we were praying together was a lot of it was to do with how we are prepared with what comes out of our mouth, with the use of our tongues. And we're going to look at that this morning, how we use our tongues in relation to faith, in relation to prayer, in relation to the overflow of what comes out of our, you know, the overflow of the heart. What your mouth is the overflow of what is in your heart. And so we're going to link all of that together with God's heart for people and all these things. But it's like we're not in a preparation time, because God's moving, God's doing stuff. The prayer strategy is increasing. But what God is doing while we are doing this and building up to going 24/7 prayer full time in the middle of January is he's just sharpening things, strengthening things, just getting us ready, getting things into place. He's pulling this bow back, because there's a release of God already because of what he's doing. But there's something, you know, of a greater dynamic of what he's going to release as we come into the new year. So let's just look at Nehemiah 4 for a minute. And let's just look at verse 7. Just to give you a quick background. Nehemiah heard about what happened in Jerusalem, that the city had been ransacked, the walls had been broken down, and that the people were in distress. And he got before God and with some fasting and mourning. And God spoke to him and he said, go and rebuild the walls. He went and spoke to the king in the nation he was in. He got favor with the king. The king said, take everything you need to go with all the supplies you need to go and rebuild the walls. And so Nehemiah went, checked out the walls, saw that they were run down, but had a plan in his mind of what needed to happen. He gathered the people together and he gave them some vision, and he spoke to them about how they could see the city walls rebuilt if they worked together, if they were mobilized together, if they just simply believed what God had said and acted upon it, then they would see God fulfill through them what he was speaking at that moment. And so they began to rebuild the walls. And how many of you know, whenever you start moving in God, there is always opposition. There's always somebody that's going to come against you in some way to try and tell you it's not possible, God's not in it, who do you think you are? You've got no right to believe God's going to hear you, listen to you, work on your behalf. The enemy's kind of yapping away in your ear all the time, telling you you're unworthy, you're no good, you're a load of rubbish, you're not good enough, you're never going to make it. And all of that stuff that goes on. How many of you relate to that? Okay, only two of you. Well, maybe you, the rest of you up here somewhere in your Christian walk. I don't know. But, you know, the enemy's always wanting to oppose what is happening in our lives. But Nehemiah had something on the inside of him, this spirit of faith. He had the word of the Lord. He had confidence in God that God was going to accomplish what he'd said he was going to do. And so whenever they had opposition, he just encouraged the people, come on, we just need to keep working according to what God has said, and we are going to see God fulfill everything that he has promised. Okay, now let's just look at verse 7 for a minute. But when Sanballat, Tobiah, the Arabs, the Ammonites, and the men of Ashdod heard that the repairs to Jerusalem walls had gone ahead and that the gaps were being closed, they were very angry. They all plotted together to come and fight against Jerusalem and stir up trouble against it. Then look at verse 9. But we prayed to our God and posted a guard day and night to meet this threat. So they didn't say we came against them in the natural. He said what we did is we posted a guard day and night to meet this threat. So we went to prayer. What a great first response. Whenever you get opposition, the first thing we want to do is not try and counteract it with an argument or with some movement in the natural, but they began to pray to God and posted a guard day and night. What's God been speaking to us about? 24-hour prayer, so praying day and night in terms of his purposes. God never goes to sleep. The devil never goes to sleep. The purposes for us are more than just the local area. They affect things in the region, the nation, and other nations. And that's 24/7, you know, that we're called to be alive and living and active. And part of this thing we'll come to in a minute, the whole prayer side of things, we are posting guards day and night to meet the threat. But not just to meet that threat, but to overcome it, as we're going to see in a few minutes. Meanwhile, the people in Judah said, the strength of the laborers is giving out, and there is so much rubble that we cannot rebuild the walls. Also, our enemies said, before they know it or see us, we will be right there among them and we will kill them and put an end to their work. So as well as the people feeling the weight of the task, they also had the opposition saying, we're going to get amongst you, we're going to kill you, we're going to put you off your stride. We're going to do everything within our power to stop you getting to your destination. Verse 12, then the Jews who lived near them came and told us 10 times over, wherever you turn, they will attack us. So a lot of encouragement coming their way at this moment. Therefore, I stationed some of the people behind the lowest points of the wall at the exposed places, posting them, listen to this, by families. Okay? So it wasn't just posting them with intercessors or posting them with just a number of people. It was posting them with families. So it included everybody. Now, a family then was not a couple of parents and a couple of kids. A family then was a whole household. It was a network of relationships. It was a household of people that were family. So it would be several generations. It might be 30, 40, 50, 60 people were in a family unit then. It wouldn't just be mum, dad and two or three kids. It was a whole unit of people, a household, a network of relationships, okay, that we're talking here. So they posted them in this way, in families, in a household or networks of with swords, spears and bows. After I looked things over, I stood up and said to the nobles, the officials and the rest of the people, don't be afraid of them. Remember the Lord who is great and awesome, and fight for your brothers, your sons, your daughters, your wives and your home. So right in the middle of the conflict, the opposition, the difficulty, he was saying, remember the Lord who is great and awesome. Okay? I just want to get a load of this out first of all before we get into how we're going to sort of work through this in what does it mean for us, okay? Then he's saying, fight for your family, fight for your brothers, your sisters, your sons, your daughters, fight for your homes, okay? When our enemies heard that we were aware, verse 15, of the plot and that God had frustrated it, we all returned to the wall, each to his own work, okay? From that day on, half of my men did the work, while the other half were equipped with spears, shields, bows and armor. The officials posted themselves behind all the people of Judah who were building the wall. Those who carried materials did their work with one hand and held a weapon in the other. And each of the builders wore his sword at his side as he worked, but the man who sounded the trumpet stayed with me. Okay? So here they are. They all have particular assignments. Okay? Now, what has God been saying to us over a period of time? About turning the church inside out. It's not just what we do collectively as a church in terms of our ministry or our collective outreach that is more organized from the central side of things. One of the things God has been talking about in terms of turning the church inside out is where God has placed us in our sphere of life, our sphere of influence, our business world or our work world or our community, in terms of, you know, mums dropping kids at school or various social settings or whatever we're part of. Wherever God has placed us, that's where God increasingly is going to be working through our lives to bring the kingdom, okay? So God has been giving us understanding. It's not just what do you give yourself on an evening or a weekend to do. It's what happens Monday to Friday, what happens in the workplace. Whether you're on shift work, whether you're on day work, whatever it is, God is wanting to bring his kingdom into people's lives right where you are. And so in one sense, we're all busy with the task of seeing God's kingdom come and seeing things happen in our own worlds and our respective situations. Also, collectively, when we're reaching out into the community and different ministries that are growing and reaching more people, all of that coming together collectively, okay, beginning to impact more and more lives. What the situation here said, wherever you hear the sound of the trumpet, join us there. Now, they worked with one hand, but they had weapons in the other. What does that mean for us? We all do what God has called us to do with one hand. In our work world, in our everyday situation, what we do collectively as a church in terms of our outreach. But in the other hand, we have our weapons. What are our weapons of warfare as believers? Prayer. We're not in a fight of flesh and blood coming against people, but the fight is a spiritual one. And so we do what we do in our everyday lives, but then we have this other, this weapon of warfare called prayer and intercession. And he posted them in families, in households. Everybody was involved, working with one hand but praying with the other. Okay? But then he said, whenever you hear the sound of the trumpet, join us there, and our God will fight for us. Let's just follow it through. So we continue the work, verse 21, with half the men holding spears from the first light of dawn till the stars came out. And at that time, I also said to the people, have every man and his helper stay inside Jerusalem at night so that they can serve as guards by night and workmen by day. Again, here's this night and day thing, okay? Neither I nor my brothers nor my men nor the guards with me took off our clothes. What do they mean? They were always ready for anything. Each had his weapon, even when he went for water. Now, in another part before that, he talks about when the trumpet sounds, you know, we're all going to gather to what? Well, they basically gather to pray. Now, there's a trumpet sound that God is heralding or blowing or whatever, however you want to put it at the moment, for us as a church, okay? And God has spoken to us about being a house of prayer for all nations. God has given us a very clear prayer strategy, and we've drawn that out so we can see how we pray locally, nationally, internationally. It's very simple, but yet it's very profound at the same time, what God has given us in terms of the prayer strategy. And as we've been just beginning to build that up over the last couple of months or so, God is wanting to encourage us and speak to us about the importance of what we do with one hand, but what we are doing with the other hand, okay? And there's this trumpet sound that God is blowing to us as a church at this moment, because the 24/7 strategy is a trumpet sound, a call to pray as a people. Not people who pray prayers, but to be a praying people, okay? And so we've mapped this thing out. It covers just about everything. Everything we're involved in Kingdom Faith, this is awesome, gets prayed for every single day. That's amazing. There's loads going on in this area, around the nation, in other nations that we're involved in some way or other, yet all of it gets prayed for every day. I mean, that's God's wisdom, isn't it? Now, I just want to, I think God's been challenging us, okay? And he's been speaking very clearly over these past few weeks. And there's a point of, if you like, I don't know, humbling ourselves or submitting to God's purpose that he is speaking about at the moment. And, you know, Pastor Paul said a minute ago, how many of you want to see people healed? Now, all of us, yeah, come on. How many of us want to see the dead raised? Not so many now. How many of you want to see the dead raised? You know, but in one sense, like he said, we've just got to do it. There's a way you just do stuff. I mean, my, I don't know if you call it philosophy, my way of thinking is if somebody's is sick, and then I move towards them to see him healed, and God's going to have to stop me if he doesn't want to do something at that moment, okay? So we want to live like that, with that kind of ethos in us. We're going to move towards seeing something happen, and if God knows, because he's got a bigger perspective on it than we do, if he's got something different he wants to do, or he wants us to hold off for a moment, he's big enough to stop us, all right? But I'd rather put God in that position where you move towards something and he said, oh, come on, this is exciting. Look what's going to happen. Or he says, no, not quite yet. In your enthusiasm, that's brilliant, but just hold on a sec, because there's something more I'm just doing over here that you don't quite understand. So just hold off when you feel, oh, actually, I shouldn't do it for a moment. But yet, a few days later, a couple of weeks later, something happens and then you realize, oh, God's wisdom. Oh, that's why he said not to do that. But sometimes we can be standing there saying, God, do something, do something. And he's like, no, go on, you do something, and then I'll do something, okay? Now, in relation to the prayer, that's what it's like with the prayer. God moves because of faith, okay? But God wants us to express faith in prayer. Now, there's a number of reasons why we don't pray, okay? Sometimes it's because we don't pray because one reason maybe, well, if I pray, I don't believe God's going to do anything. That could be one reason. Or you just think, well, I don't know if God's going to listen to me because I don't know if I've got the faith for that, you know? Sometimes the enemy just has a go and says, you know, it's not going to work. It's too big for you. You're not going to see that answer. You've been praying about that for so long now, you might as well just forget it, you know. And all of those things that, you know, well, I haven't got enough time, or circumstances dictate this, or there's loads of reasons why, you know, we don't pray or we don't give ourselves to prayer at times. When we know in the back of our minds, prayer changes things, prayer works, prayer is powerful, it releases God, it unlocks the purposes of God. And so often, we don't feel like anything's going to happen when we pray, right? Anybody? Yeah? But how many of you know, when you begin to pray, something begins to stir up on the inside of you, and you think, why don't I do this more? Or you go to the prayer room and pray for an hour, and you're like, man, that was amazing, that was brilliant, I'm going to stay here for another hour, or I'm going to make sure I come back next week because God's doing something. It's like chicken and egg, isn't it? Prayer's one of those things. When you don't pray, you think it's just not going to work. But when you are praying, you want to pray more. Yeah. Or is that just him? That's how it works for me. Okay. Now, in this whole scenario, there's this trumpet sound to call the people to pray. Come on, guys. When we come and pray, God is going to fight for us. That's pretty awesome, okay? Now, just grab your Bible for a minute. Now, I've never, ever, 2 Chronicles 7, 14, just about everybody in the room probably knows what this scripture is, right? I have never, ever, 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 ever preached from this, read it in a meeting or anything. And this is probably one of the most commonly used scriptures in the Bible, isn't it? And one of the reasons why I've never preached it or used it is because it's been so flogged and everybody uses it, you know, in every prayer meeting, in every revival thing, and every, you know, it's like, blooming heck, everybody's bored to tears with that one, and everybody knows what you're going to say when you get up and say it. But as I was praying about this morning, I just felt God say, go and look at that scripture. So, you know, okay, all right. And so I was just reading through this, and it relates, not the whole, I'm not going to preach from it really, but just there's a phrase in it I believe God wants to speak to us about in relation to what we're going to then look at for the next 10 minutes, okay? Because it's nearly 12 o'clock, isn't it? What time do you make it? 5:02? Who makes it 12 o'clock? Man, you need to change your watch or something there. Anyway. Okay. Most of us know these scriptures very well, okay? In terms of God calling the people of God to come and pray. But let's just look at this for a minute. This very well-known verse. We're going to read this one verse. Okay, you ready? If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Okay, and then it talks about, then his eyes will be open to hear, be attentive to their prayers offered in this place. Okay. And so on. Now, one of the things God has been speaking to us about, maybe not really clearly over these last few weeks, but it's a thread underlying everything he's been saying, is humble yourself. Right. Submit yourself. Now, that might not have been very clear over these last few weeks in terms of threading through it all, but to be under his authority means we have to submit ourselves or humble ourselves. To be under anybody's authority, you have to submit yourself or humble yourself. But also to love people in the way God has been speaking about going the extra mile, and what he's been talking about in terms of the courageous love that Labib spoke about last week. Not that we want to defeat our enemies, but God wants to reconcile enemies. That was awesome, wasn't it, that one? You know, we often think we've got to defeat our enemies. Well, the devil's the only enemy we've got. People are not our enemies. The devil is the enemy, but people are not. And so, but the devil loves to manifest himself as an enemy through people. But God says he wants to reconcile people. Okay. And so that means a courageous love, not a militancy, as he was speaking about last week. And so this week, I've been saying, God, I want to see an increase of courageous love in my own life, you know. Now, what does that mean? It means to love people that you don't naturally love, to love people in a way that God is speaking about. There needs to be a humility or a submitting of our own desires, our own longings, our own thinking, our own perceptions and perspectives to God's heart of love and compassion to the people and how God wants us to be. So he's saying, humble yourselves. But another way of humbling yourself is also to pray. When we don't pray, in one sense, we're either saying, I can handle this myself. I don't need God in this situation. I can do it myself. So and so we don't pray sometimes because we think, well, I can handle it, you know. Whereas actually, to humble yourself means, well, God, no matter whether I've got the ability or not, I want to put my trust in you. So that you come through, whether I've got the ability or not, so that what happens, it's your life that flows through me, okay? And not just my giftings or character or whatever just flowing with you attached to it. I want you to, I want your life to flow through, you know, whatever you've put inside of me, okay? And so there's two parts to this. There's this humbling ourselves, submitting ourselves to God and his purpose, but also humbling ourselves and submitting ourselves to respond to what he's saying. Now, there's two challenges for us that are very practical. One is this week, we have revival days, okay, starting on Wednesday night. We're going to have an awesome few days together. Now, these few days, they're not for us. They're not for us just to come and have some great meetings and consume God and look back and say, well, we had a great time, didn't we? Music and worship was great and preaching was all right, wasn't it? And the prophetic stuff was great and the presence of God was awesome. And they kind of look back as a memory. Well, God has been speaking to us saying that these revival days, they're not for us. They're for everybody that is not here. They're for those that don't have a voice. They're those that are living in despair, those that have no hope. Why are we meeting together? Not just so that we meet with God, but so that God can download his heart. So that the way we live after a few days of encountering God and meeting with God, something changes as a church so that we are different by next Sunday than we are today. God is working, but we want to meet together and say, God, do something deeper, greater, release more of your life that is inside of me so that I live different, think different, move different, breathe different from next week onwards. But what does that mean? It means I've got to submit myself and humble myself because it's not for me, it's for somebody else. The prayer strategy God has been speaking about, praying 24/7. The prayer is not for us. It's for everybody that is not here. The prayer is all about the vision and the mission and the outworking of God's purpose to see our community transformed, our region changed, the nation impacted and the nations impacted. But that means I've got to submit myself and surrender myself, humble myself to do something that in one sense, initially, is not going to benefit me. It's for the benefit of somebody else or many others. So what is God challenging us recently? He's kind of bringing this to a point, if you like, this morning. But we're going to be out working this in a greater way over these next few weeks. It's like, what are we living for? Who are we living for? Why are we alive? Why are we here? Now, every time God challenges, when we respond, God's grace comes to live it out. So it's not just, oh, no, not another thing I've got to sacrifice. When you make a decision and say, God, I just surrender, submit, humble myself before you this morning or today or this week, whatever, the grace comes to then live what God has commanded us and calling us to live. How many of you want to live in victory every day of your life? How many of you want to be a person of faith? I just want to very, very quickly, we haven't got time to go through all these scriptures in depth this morning, but in 2 Corinthians 10, verses 3 to 5, particularly in verse 5, it talks about taking every thought captive and making it obedient to Christ, okay? And then in James 4, 7, it says, submit yourselves then to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Right now, we're just going to put those two scriptures together. I'm just going to rant for 5 minutes. Is that all right? Because there's loads to say that I haven't got time for this morning, but we're going to get this in anyway, okay? In five, I don't know, about 5 minutes, maybe six, six and a half, seven, eight, ten, I don't know. But anyway, give me more than eight, any higher than eight? Don't. Who said four? Repent. Okay, now. Well, I just want to be practical for a minute to do with prayer. God wants to release a much greater spirit of prayer upon us as Kingdom Faith. Not just here, but all over Kingdom Faith, okay? Now, we're not short of praying, okay? It's not like we don't pray. There's loads of stuff happening during the week. And as we've been increasing the prayer that's going on, we've had 3 days, 4 days, you know, of continual prayer going on. That's increasing. So that by the middle of January, we're into praying 24 hours, round the clock, all of the time, okay? But we need to understand, how do we pray with victory? How do we live in victory? So that when we step into the prayer room or the place of prayer, we don't step out of living in defeat and then we try and get into victory in here. You see, you have a mind, you have thoughts, you have attitudes, you have motives, you have desires, okay? The word here in 2 Corinthians 10 verse 5 says, take captive every thought, and bring it into the obedience of Christ or to the lordship of Christ, okay? So what do? It's very easy if I said, right, let's turn to Ephesians 1 verse 3 to 5 and let's just pray through the word, okay? We would all get on our feet, get the word out, and we would start praying through the scriptures. But just because you pray through the scriptures and declare certain things doesn't mean that you've submitted your mind, your thoughts, your way to that word. Because if you haven't submitted your thoughts, your attitude, your ways, your motives to that word, they're still sitting there in your life and you're just speaking things over what is sitting there, but nothing's going to change. So what do? When we really submit ourselves to God and to his word, what we're doing is we come across something in the word that challenges us and we go, whoa, hang on a minute, that's different than my thinking. When we come across the word that says something, do I believe that? Can I accept that? Can I live like that? If there's a challenge there, it's not a challenge to your faith. It's a challenge to unbelief, okay? But when you get a word that or a scripture or a truth that impacts you, you suddenly go, whoa, hang on a minute. You don't just say, oh, right, okay, that's true. So I speak that over my life now. First of all, you want to address what has been sitting there for a while and uproot the thing. And then what you do is you put the seed of that truth in the soil that has now been freed from the things that have been there instead. Okay? So what do? How do you do that? A truth comes, challenges your thinking. What do you do with that? Whoa, that challenges me. Okay, so right, Father, I now take this thought, negativity, or I take this attitude, or I take this way of thinking, or whatever it might be, and I take this and I consciously now, intentionally submit that right now, that wrong attitude or that wrong way of thinking, I submit that now to this truth that says something different to the way that I think. So I now bring my thoughts under the lordship of your word. I ask you to forgive me for thinking like that and for letting that way of thinking, that train of thought, dominate my responses and thinking and actions. I bring that under the lordship of your word now. And I repent of that. I uproot that wrong way of thinking. I uproot that attitude that's been pervading through my life. And I uproot that right now. And instead, I take hold of this truth and I now receive that into my life, that this is the way you want me to think. This is the way you want me to live. Now, in that process, you might feel absolutely nothing going on inside of you. You might feel like, I don't feel like that truth is truth. I don't feel like anything's changing. I don't feel like I'm on top of the world. But the word says, it doesn't say, take captive every emotion, every feeling and bring it under. It says, take captive every thought, because your emotions and feelings are dictated by what goes on in your mind, and things are set off in your body that responds to the thinking of what goes on in your head. That's why we're transformed by the renewing of our mind. So if we submit what is in our minds to the truth and to the word, then what is sent when you have the mind of Christ in operation, sent through the rest of your being, is going to then at some point, it's going to line up with what is going on in here. You're going to rise up on the inside and say, God is in charge. Even though the feelings and circumstances may look different, I just know on the inside, God has said this, it's replaced my old way of thinking, now I'm going to move forward. Okay? Now, if we're going to pray like that, we've got to live like that. So you can live in victory every moment of the day. When thoughts come your way, what do? With them? When you feel naffed off, cheesed off, things are going difficult, what do? You don't necessarily need to go off and have a half an hour shundai with the Holy Spirit. What you need to do is just stop where you are. Take a couple of minutes. If you're at work, go to the loos or something. I don't know what you need to do. Take 2 or 3 minutes and say, right, I'm having a hard time here. But I'm going to submit all this stuff going on right now to the truth of what God's word says. You might feel out of sorts. You might feel you got out of bed the wrong side that day. You might feel all sorts of stuff at that moment. The word doesn't work. It's not going to make any difference. Just walk through those feelings and walk into a decision that I'm going to apply the truth right now in my life. Okay? And get hold of it and say, right, I submit this feeling. I submit these thoughts. I submit these circumstances. I submit all of this lot. If you need to repent of something, just do it, but just keep it short and simple. God deals with it and take hold of what you know is in the word in relation to that thought, situation, circumstance, and sense. Say, right, now this is what God's word is. You don't need to ask the Holy Spirit a lot of the time, what is your word into this? If you're sick, get the word out because God's heart is for you to be healed and whole. There's loads of stuff in there already. Just get, this is living and active. It's alive. God wants this to run rampant through our lives. Because it's already alive and kicking. It's already at work. It's already going somewhere. We just want to connect into it so that we go with it where it's going. Okay? So this is why God has called us to pray. Because we are a people of faith. We do believe in the power of the word when it is spoken. So when we get into that place of prayer, we're praying for our community, our region, our nation, other nations, whatever it is. The power of God that goes out of your mouth. Because it's his word, it's eternal, it's going to go on and on and on and on. It's going to change things. That's why God has called us to pray, to release his answers on earth as they are in heaven. It's to see his kingdom come and his will be done on earth as it is up there, so we see it down here. And so there's a trumpet call from heaven to you, to me, every single one of us at the moment, to humble ourselves, submit ourselves, firstly to God and what he's saying, which is to pray as a people. There's a trumpet sound coming, calling us to pray. It doesn't matter who any of us are in the church. However, whatever your job is, whatever is going on in your life, every single one of us can respond to God's word. When God speaks to a church, he doesn't just speak to a few and think, oh, well, there's a few over there that can't respond to that because they're outside of my word. When God speaks, he includes everybody. And part of the call is there's 168 hours in the week, and we've broken it down into 12 areas that get of 2 hours each. So there's 24 hours. 12 times 2 is 24. I managed that at school. And therefore, we have 2 hours in each of the 12 areas that cover, and each area covers local, regional, national, and international in each area. And every one of us can at least pray for 1 hour in the week. You might not be able to get to the prayer room. That's not a problem. But you can give 1 hour a week. This is where the rubber hits the road, okay? Because if we're going to submit ourselves to God, submit ourselves to his purposes, then how do you do that? It's not just in a prayer at the end of a meeting saying, God, I submit to you. There's always practical actions that go with what God says. And so there's this trumpet sound coming. You might think, well, I'm not really an intercessor. God's not talking to intercessors. He's talking to us as a body of people. When you look at any move of God, there are always intercessors that have prayed certain things, but the move of God gets released when the body of Christ comes together to begin to pray. If you look historically, what the intercessors do is pray the church to come alive and get moving. The intercessors don't change the nation. It's the church's prayer that changes the nation with the actions that come with the prayer. You can read any past revival, any revival. The intercessors, the two or three that were in some of these books, the old ladies or the whatevers that were never known about, what did they do? They sparked the church. Not the nation, they sparked the church to come alive. When the church came alive and began to pray and agree together and move as God intended it to move and to be, that's when society got impacted. And so God is saying, come on, church, it's time to become that house of prayer for all nations in a way where you humble yourself, you submit yourself, and you give yourself to my purposes. And that's inclusive, not exclusive. None of us are excluded from what God is saying. It's a challenge to all of us. All of us is a challenge. But there's not one person in this room that hasn't got time in any given week to pray for 1 hour. There's not one person in the room. None of us are too busy. None of us, our lives are so manic, so up here somewhere that there isn't an hour in our week where we say, I'm going to put everything else aside and this 1 hour is to pray for all these people that I'm not going to benefit from, but they are. God's challenging us to lay our lives down. If we're going to love people in the way that God has been speaking about over these last few weeks, Jane, my wife, gave some tests a few weeks ago about what's happening with us. There's other people opening their homes. There's God speaking to different people in the body about reaching different types of people and compassion-related ministry stuff and where all that can go. There's some awesome stuff. But the dynamic of love that is involved in that is more than just we'll give it a go for a few weeks and if it gets tough, we'll give up. I mean, the kind of people God is beginning to bring us and all of that, man, you need that agape to do it. But you've got to lay your life down in order to really see it take place. And so the challenge, if you like, with God is he's saying, well, come on, guys, you want something in your hearts. Now let's move into it then in real terms. And so this week we've got revival days. We're not just going to have loads of worship and loads of preaching, okay? We're going to have obviously a lot of worship, but it's going to be intermixed with intercession and prayer, with prophetic stuff and meeting with God, however God wants to do it. And I'm sure that's going to include the word being sort of in and amongst through that. There might be a few preachers here and there, but it's not about, we're not having a conference this week. That's why it's not called a conference. It's called Revival Days because we want to meet as a church and be revived. And we're not dead. But God wants to breathe even more in so that there's even more that is breathed out. You know, and so we're here not for ourselves, but for everybody that is not here this week. Okay? So just, I don't know, hopefully we've been talking about this for a while now. Just lock everything out this week from your diary. Just say, I want to get there with God and with everybody else because we want to move more fully in his purposes. The 24/7 prayer stuff that's ramping up, you need to look at the map that's out there in the hub and look at the thing and see where's the thing that is really buzzing in my heart. What time is it? And see, you know, how you can make sure you get there for at least one of those 2 hours to get in there and pray. It doesn't matter if there's five people in the prayer room. Sometimes we don't go because it's like, well, I don't know who else might be there. What happens if I don't really want to pray with that person? I don't really get on, you know. Well, great, get in there. You get a chance to, I don't know, get reconciled, get healed, get sorted, and maybe you'll get to know somebody you never met before. I don't know. But maybe let's just put something of ourselves back here somewhere and say, right, I'm just going to give into this. All right, because every person, why is God saying this to all of us this morning? Because everybody's important. He's not saying it because everybody's got to pray. He's saying that everybody's key. Everybody's a player. Everybody's part of this thing. You know, they position people in families. And in some ways, see, we've got lots of different areas of things going on where lots of people are coming together. And there's a bit of a, you know, this is my heart's for this, my heart's for that. Well, great. Meet with those that have got the same heart and hit things in prayer. Pray things. Get some stuff from God, you know. I don't know, maybe the time that you're having to pray is your slot, the mission slot, 2 till 4 in the morning at the moment. That's a challenge, isn't it? Especially those who are getting up to pray. But all of us, we all have 5, 6, 7, 8 hours sleep at night. We've all actually got an hour or so there. That's a challenge, isn't it? It's like, well, I need me 8 hours sleep. Well, maybe just tithe one of those hours. Instead of sleeping for 8 hours, sleep for 7 instead and pray for one of them. And maybe, just maybe the Holy Spirit can energize you without that other hour of sleep. I don't know. But see, when we begin to pray, what happens? We give space for God to move and do stuff. You get in there and pray. It's great, isn't it? How many of you have been in the prayer room in the last few weeks? Awesome, isn't it? You get in there and it's just, you know, if you can't make it to the prayer room, great. Just be in your house or wherever you are for that hour and pray. You know, there's loads of stuff in terms of fuel for the prayer that we can put into your hands and stuff. So it's not that you have to be in the prayer room that it counts. I'm sure God doesn't mind where we pray. It's not like if it's not in the prayer room, it doesn't go to, it doesn't, God doesn't hear it or anything, you know. But it's great to meet and pray with others and come into a place of agreement. So what are we doing when we do all this stuff about submitting? We're basically agreeing with God. When you agree with God, stuff is going to happen. Let's all stand up, shall we? Come on. I know it's been a bit straight and a bit fast this morning, but it's just God's heart for us, God speaking. He wants us to be full of momentum, full of kind of, come on, this is great. Not, oh no, I've got to get, you know, 1 hour a week. It's not like we're asking you to pray every day. It's just 1 hour a week. That's pretty easy, isn't it? But it's what goes on in the spirit, the momentum of that, the release of life and power and breakthrough and all of those things that take place. There's a trumpet sound coming at the moment for all of us, and it's to do with humbling ourselves, submitting ourselves to something more than our own life, to giving ourselves to pray, to love people in a way that only God can love people. But God graces us to do it. You don't have to do it in your own strength. It's great. Pastor Paul said that, didn't he? It's great that we don't seem to be able to do anything yet. That's when God comes through. And it's not saying, come on, everybody, try, try, try. It's saying, well, God, I can't pray. And God goes, great, then I can pray through you. Best place to be, isn't it? God, I can't heal the sick. Great, but I can heal them through you. Brilliant. I don't know, I'm rubbish at presenting the gospel. Then great, give me some opportunity and I'll present it through you. I'll give you the words. I'll give you the heart. All of that, it's like, it's recognizing you're not trying to do it in your own strength, but it's God through you, Christ in you, that is really gets humming and moving and things happen. Are you ready? Right, just close your eyes a minute. We want to be full of faith now for a few minutes, not quiet and sort of silent. So I want you to really speak out these things. If you know there's a particular area that you need to bring under the Lordship of Jesus today, into his obedience right now, I want you to take those thoughts captive. You might be sick and you've been speaking sickness or thinking sickness over your life. You know, 84% of sickness is psychosomatic. It starts with the mind and then it begins to manifest in some way in your body. That's awesome. 87%, something like that is psychosomatic. So if you've been thinking stuff about yourself, I'm sick, I've got this, I've got that, bring those thoughts under the Lordship of Jesus this morning. If you've been thinking about certain things in your life, you know you need to take thoughts captive. You need a certain attitude that's been pervading, running through your life. You need to bring that under the Lordship of Jesus this morning. Let's just do that now. Take captive every thought. Maybe you think, I'm rubbish, I'm unworthy, I'm no good, God doesn't like me. Take captive that thought and bring it under the Lordship of Jesus this morning. Bring it under his obedience. I just bring all that unworthiness. I bring all that rubbish that goes through my mind. I bring it under the Lordship because the word says he's chosen me, he's called me. I've been adopted as a son of God. I'm a child of God. I've been raised to a new life in him. He has made me worthy. He has put his life in me. I'm now an heir, an inheritor with Christ at the right hand of the Father. He has made me worthy. So now you're uprooting that unworthiness, saying that is not me. That's not part of me. That sickness, that is not me. That's not part of me. Whatever it might be, uproot it this morning. Come on, let's go. Pray. Just do it now. We've only got a couple of minutes left. Thank you, G. Just submit yourself. Afresh. God is calling us as a praying people. Just submit your response to that. Maybe some of you are sitting here going, oh great, I love praying, I just can't get enough of it. Maybe some of you are like, oh man, that means I've got to pray in another way. Just submit all of that response right now, because God wants to just breathe into you in a fresh way, to be one of those praying people, to give yourself to his purposes. 1 hour a week is not a lot in the scheme of a week. But yet there's that heart response saying, God, do what you need to do in me. I submit, I surrender my response. It doesn't matter if you're not a person of prayer or an intercessor. God can grace you and enable you to pray. We want a greater release of the spirit of prayer on Kingdom Faith, so that it's easier to pray than not to pray. Father, we thank you as we just humble ourselves this morning. Bring ourselves under your lordship in our lives. Father, we humble ourselves to your word that you have spoken about being a house of prayer for all nations. Father, where we haven't responded to that, forgive me, forgive us as a body if we have not responded to that in the right way. Father, forgive us when we thought prayer doesn't work. I can do this on my own. I don't need God here. Or whether there's just unbelief in some way, forgive me. I uproot that unbelief. I submit my thinking to God. Thank you that you say that when we believe God, all things are possible. And so, Father, we thank you. As we give ourselves to pray, the spirit of prayer will be increasing over these next couple of months into the new year. Father, I thank you for the anointing to pray, to break through. that will release a greater fruitfulness in all the mission and ministry that is going on every day, every week, locally, regionally, nationally, and throughout the world. Father, we thank you that you have caught us up in something so much bigger than who we are in and of ourselves. But Father, I thank you that when we respond to you, things break out around us in our own lives just simply because we respond to you. Father, we thank you. We praise your name. Come on, let's thank him this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.